Tosis on Mem Beis on the Beis discusses a situation where a person on Motzoi Shabbos washes Netilas Yadayim. Yesterday we started with Tosis. The last few weeks we were saying Tehillim for a big Talmud Chacham who just passed away yesterday in Johannesburg. So maybe we'll dedicate the learning in his memory. Rabbi Azriel Goldfein. He was an American who learned in Telzi Yeshiva in Cleveland, and many years ago, he and another Talmud Chacham went to Johannesburg, and they both founded big yeshivas, and had a big ashpa on the whole community, so he just pissed away. Thank you. So yesterday, we were discussing the Tosfos here, Mem Beis, on the Beis. Tosfos refers you to Gemara Mesachim Kuf Aleph. Gemara has a machlokes hamaroyim, whether we require Kiddush b'Makom Suda. Avdolah, for sure, we don't require b'makom suda. There's no such opinion. But Kiddush is a machlek. So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that when you hear Kiddush in Shul, apparently it used to be say Kiddush in Shul, and everybody would take a sip of the wine. So Rabbi Yochanan says, number one, you yotze Kiddush. You don't have to repeat Kiddush at home. There's no need for Kiddush b'makom suda. And number two, you don't have to repeat Baruch Pei Hagafen either. When you said Baruch Pei Hagafen in Shul, when you heard from the Chazan, Baruch Pei Hagafen, you had a little bit of wine and you plan to continue drinking at home, there's no problem. So the Gemara says, we don't accept Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on both accounts. First of all, we paskin that you only yotze Kiddush if it's b'makom suda. So the Kiddush that you recite in Shul is not acceptable. So then the Gemara poses the question, so why did they have the practice? Why did they recite Kiddush in Shul if no one's yotze? So the Gemara says, because the guests, the orchim, used to eat in the shul, used to eat and sleep in the shul. That's the Lashon HaGemara, they used to eat and sleep in the shul. So they would be yotze with the Kiddush. And then Tosfos has a whole discussion. What do you mean that they ate and slept in the shul? They're allowed to eat and sleep in the shul? So Tosfos has a whole discussion on that. Maybe they ate and slept in the room adjacent to the shul. Maybe Tzudas Mitzvah is mutter to eat in the shul. Maybe in Chutzlorz, but the Knesir Sheb Chutzlorz. It's all discussion in Tosfos. What's going on in the Gemara? That's what it says in the Gemara. That's the whole source of the whole issue of Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, we don't have that practice. Nobody eats and sleeps in the shul, nor in their room adjacent to the shul. So should we still continue to recite Kiddush? So that's a question. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes. The Chabad says that we don't. There's no use in saying Kiddush in shul. You should not recite Kiddush in shul. It's a bracha v'atola. And the Rambam says you should still recite Kiddush. And it's based on, there's a Tshuvas HaRambam like that, that even though originally when the Chachamim instituted Kiddush and Shul, it was in order to be Moitzi the Yorcham Yidei Chai Rosam. Once they instituted it, they made it as a Takonis, even in a situation where that reason doesn't apply, the Takonis still applies, you have to still recite Kiddush and Shul. That's what it says in the Tshuvas HaRambam. We don't know how authentic these Tshuvas HaRambam are, they're different collections of Tshuvas HaRambam. It's one of the many tshuvas of the Rambam. That's questionable. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes in his sefer, Matei Ephraim, as a separate sefer, Matei Ephraim, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the time. It's a separate sefer on the Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a little bit on Sukkot. He has another sefer, Shari Ephraim, special on Hilchas Priyas HaTorah, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes heavily from. He has many svarim, but these two b'miuchad are quoted very heavily. So he makes a suggestion in the Sefer and the Matei Ephraim and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that maybe there isn't really a machlokes the Mechaber and the Ramah about reciting Kiddush and Shul. He wants to say the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael and the Ramah lived in Poland. So he says, Tosfos there raised the question, what are the people doing eating and sleeping in the Shul? You're not allowed to use the Shul for secular purposes. So Tosfos suggests several answers. So one answer was they ate in the room adjacent to the shul. One answer was a Sadis Mitzvah, Shabbos de Kamilas, a Sadis Mitzvah. One answer was that Bote Kneeser Sheb Babel Al Tanayim Asuyas, that all the shuls in Chutz Loretz are Al Tanay. So he says the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they never had this Takana in the first place. No one ever ate in the shul. So they never made the Takana in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah lived in Chutz Loretz. So Ramah is following that answer in Taisus that the Bote Kneeser Sheb Babel Al Tanayim Asuyas, they used to have Orchim who used to eat and sleep in the shul. So that's why they made a takana, so the takana remained like that. That's how the Matei Ephraim suggests. Very difficult because Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara there in Pesachim quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Here's Tosfos quotes. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, these can make Kiddush and Shul. everybody had Kiddush in Shul. Then the Gemara says, we don't pasken like Rabbi Yechanan, we pasken en Kiddush ala Malachim Suda, no one's Yotze. So why do we say Kiddush in Shul? So they're talking about Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael also. It's a little bit too much pilpul. That the machlekes, the machaber amah is not really a machlekes, it just depends whether you live in Eretz Yisrael. It's an einfal. But the question is whether historically, whether it's correct or not. Anyway, so the Gemara quotes them Psachim Kufal and Rabbi Yechanan holds two shitas which are both not accepted. First is he holds that Yotze Kiddush even though Shalom and Makam Suda. And secondly, he holds that there's no problem of Shina Makam. If you drink wine in one location and you continue to drink in another location, that doesn't pose a problem. So the Gemara says we don't accept either. We pasken Shina Makam Tzorach Levarech in most foods, unless it's a pas, if you had a kazais pas, and it's Tom Brocha Le'achro Bimkomo. So then the Gemara says you don't have to say another bracha on Shina Makam. Okay. But wine and other things, we would assume that Shina Makam Tzorach Levara. And then the second point we don't accept is that he holds you don't eat Kiddush Makam, so we pass them that you do. So Tyson says, when the people took a sip of wine in Shul, and then they went home and they continued to drink, so they didn't repeat Kiddush. They're not going to repeat Kiddush. So what is the wine that they're going to drink at home? What is it going to be? It's going to be Yai Meter Chasuda. So we paskin, there's an issue of Shina Makam. Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold in that problem. But still, you see that the wine that you drink before the Suda covers the wine that you drink in the middle of the Suda. The Gemara had a machlokes amaroyim over here. The Mishnah only said, if you say bor piragofen on the wine before the meal, it covers the wine that you're going to drink after the meal. After the meal is all over, before Brichas Hamazon. Never says explicitly what's the din if you drank wine before the meal. He said, Bor Piagofen, and the wine before the meal, does it cover the wine in the middle of the meal? So the Gemara had a machlekes amaroyim. If they didn't have any wine before the meal, and they only served wine in the middle of the meal, Zeh Lishrois, Zeh Lishtois. And he said, Bor Piagofen, and the wine in the middle of the meal, does it cover the wine shalachar asudah? So we paskin that does not cover. So Tosis wants to know, what about the reverse case? If you had bar piragofen on the wine before the meal, does it cover the wine in the middle of the meal? So we say, that's beferish in psochem. That part of Rabbi Yechanan was never, there was no objection against that. They all took a sip of wine in shul, that was yayin shek koidem amazon, and then Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold from the problem, doesn't hold from the issue of shina makom. So when they would go home and eat the meal at home and they would drink wine in the middle of the meal, that would be covered with the bar piragofen that they said before. So that's what Tosis paskens. That's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. But then Tosis has another discussion. What's the din? Can a person wash Netilas Yadayim from Lava Malka and then say Havdalah in between Netilas Yadayim and Hamoitzi? The din is that take it from the Tilas Yadayim Bracha, we had a men based on an olive. And Rabbi Kibege quoted that there's a Yerushalmi and a Medrash Rabba, that not only does it apply to Mayim Achreinim with Birchas Hamazon, it applies to Mayim Rishonim with Hamoitzi as well. So is it permissible Chatchila to wash the Tilas Yadayim al das to say Havdalah in between the Tilas Yadayim and the Hamoitzi? So the Gemara there talks about, the Gemara in Pesachim on that same daf talks about Kiddush. What's it mean? Is it permissible to recite Kiddush in between Antilus Yadayim and Amoitz? The Gemara is assuming also like Rabbi Kivega's Yerushalmi and Medrash Rama, that you're not supposed to have a major hapsoket. It doesn't say about answering yes, no, one sentence, but about reciting Kiddush. So the Gemara says it's not right to have a long pause in between the Antilus Yadayim in Hamoitzi. But there's a machlokes amaroyim where the Kiddush has to be b'makom suda not, and we paskin in Kiddush ela b'makom suda, it can only be yotzei Kiddush in connection with the suda. So that's why not al yada of yikadesh. If a person washes until the yadayim, that doesn't, reciting of Kiddush does not constitute a hepsik in between the tilis yadayim and Hamoitzi, because it's necessary to have the Kiddush in conjunction with the meal. That's considered part of the meal. Is it mutar l'chatchila to do that? That's a further question in Shulchan Aruch. But the yevid not al yadav, So the Gemara has a machlokes. One opinion is not the other. Lo yikadesh, you're not allowed to say kiddush. It'll be a hefzik between the netilas yadayim and amoytzi. And we pass the not the other yikadesh, because since ain't kiddush adam amach masuda, so that doesn't constitute a hefzik. Then the in Shulchan Aruch they quote different minhagim. So the Ramor writes, the Ramor lived in Krakow in Poland. He says the minig where he came from was that they used to wash in tilas yadayim before kiddush. It was a kiddush in between. In between the Tilis Yadayim and Hamoitz. Today somehow the Yekis carried on that tradition from the Ramah, and all the Jews from Eastern Europe don't observe that practice. But the source of the whole discussion is that Gemara himself in that Tosis quotes. Since Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokom Suda, Sebediyevit, if not Al Yodav, we paskan Yikadesh, he may say Kiddush. One opinion is not the Yodav Lo Yikadesh, you're not allowed to say Kiddush. What's he going to do? But he can't eat either. He can't say Hamoitzi either, so what's he going to do? So the Rashbam says, no, let him listen to someone else say Kiddush. Let someone else say Kiddush. That's less of a hefzik. Paying attention to someone else's Kiddush and saying Amen is less of a hefzik than reciting the Kiddush yourself. So we pass on the Bidiyevet, if not Al Yadav, the husband came home and he washed before he said Kiddush, not Al Yadav, Yikadish. Let him say Kiddush, and it's not a hefzik. And others have the Shita that even Smuta Lachatchil, there's nothing wrong. But Havdalah doesn't require Havdalah b'makam suda. So it's not right. The Pashtus is it's not right to wash until the Yadayim from Lava Malka before saying Havdalah. Then he's going to say the Havdalah. That's not proper. So I don't understand the whole discussion here. Taisus in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the whole discussion from the Taisus. Taisus has the two opinions. If a person has wine for Havdalah and he plans to have Lava Malka right after the Havdalah, so the wine that he's drinking before the meal is Yain Shalifnei HaMozim. Then he's going to have wine in the middle of the meal that's going to be Yain Shalifnei HaMozim. So Tosfos proof in the Gemara Psachim that that's okay. That Bar Piragov and recited over the wine Shalifnei HaMozim covers the Yain Shalifnei HaMozim. And they showed from our Gemara also okay. The only time it's a Machlokes HaMaroim, Rav and Talmid de Rav, and Pasuk like Talmid de Rav, because Rav backed out, the Gemara we learned yesterday. The only time it's a machlokes and not daf is the reverse. If he said the bar piagofen and the yain shebetoch hamazon, he wants to continue once that bar piagofen to cover the wine shelachar hamazon, which is mochoshev. The yain of shti is mochoshev, the yain of then the yain of lishros. But if he says bar piagofen on the wine before the meal, for sure that covers the wine shebetoch hamazon. So Tosfos quotes one opinion that that's only good. Shabbosis v'yamim tovim, when it's built in that there has to be kiddush b'makom suda, and you had to have wine before the meal, and it's all understood there's going to be wine in the middle of the meal. But by havdalah, where there is no such din, then havdalah has to be b'makom suda. So the havdalah you had before has no connection with the meal later on. So the bar piagofen and on the wine of havdalah will not cover the wine in the middle of the meal. Why not? Satella, why not? Why in the world should it not? The very peladik. That's where they quote one opinion. And then they say, and the whole time there's a machlokes, the whole meduber is, if he said havdalah, the machlokes is if he said havdalah after washing the tilas adar. How are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to say havdalah after you wash the tilas adar? You're supposed to say havdalah before, that's a hefsik. You're not supposed to say havdalah in between all the tilas adayim and amoitzi. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the chumra of the Balei HaTosfos, in order to avoid this peladik machlokes, which Tosfos makes fun of it. Why should there be an opinion who disagrees? Why should there be anybody who says that you're not Yotze? But Tosfos recognizes the lo ki yesh shomer, not like those who say fakir. So they come to the conclusion, that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes also. Should never say havdalah after washing the tilas yadayim. We never do. Why not? Anybody understand the last line of Tosfos? Why not? If you said bar piagofen on havdalah and you plan to wash from a lava malka right afterwards. So he says bar piagofen, and then he wants to have wine in the middle of the meal. So why shouldn't it be covered with the bar piagofen that he said before? What kind of a din is that? That you have to say ala geffen right away. You know, I drink a cup of wine, I have to say, I plan to have another cup of wine. Why do I have to say ala geffen immediately after the first cup of wine? How is that nofik How is that? Lapuke nafshayim et plukta. How does he avoid the machlokes by doing that? The whole Tosfos is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The two opinions with the Yetzer. And it's not Gorim Brocha Shein Tzvicha. He's going to say Ala Gefen, then he's going to have to say Bor Pe'al Gofen again in the middle of the meal. Why is that? According to the Rov HaRishon, and Tosfos presents that, that the Rov HaRishonim hold that the Bor Pe'al Gofen over the Havdalah wine does cover the wine in the middle of the meal. The Feirish, that's what he has in mind, to eat, to have wine in the middle of the meal. Tell him. The Gemara tells a story with at Rav's funeral. Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to this Gemara in his drushes every so often. That at Rav's funeral, Talmidim didn't know what the din is about Hasebef. They said in advance, Nezel Menechel Beduchta Plan, they made up in advance they're going to eat in a certain location, but they didn't have any Hasebef, they just had yeshiva. Is that good enough or not? So the Gemara finally came to the conclusion that it is good. So the Gemara tells a story that they got up and they ripped Kriya a second time. Noch nafshi derav, the Rebbe passed away. We don't even know how to bench mezunah. We should have asked the Rebbe while he was alive. Rav Soloveitchik used to complain about the fact that all the Tanoim complain about the fact that every generation we don't ask the Rabbanim. We don't try to get from the Talmid HaChamim of the earlier generation as much as we can. Every generation is like that. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin, the end of Perek Arba Mises. So the Tana Reb Lezer makes such a statement. He got so much Torah from his Rabbein, and he tried to transmit to his Talmidim, and he got Kikelef Amlakik Minayam, like a dog who's sipping in water from the ocean. The ocean has billions and trillions and zillions of droplets of water. He only took a kelef amlakik menayam. He could have gotten so much more. So that's what the Gemara says over here. The tragedy of the Masur in every generation. The next generation doesn't realize that they should try to get as much as possible from the earlier generation. Noch nafshi derav, v'bichas mezonah lagarmin. The Rebbe passed away, and they don't even know how to bench mezumin. Such an elementary dinner should have been mevara while the Rebbe was alive. The Mishnah, this Mishnah, Membeis and Membeis, this is the first time that the Mishnah is alluding to the fact that a bracha is recited over Reach. Until now, we just had bracha over eating and drinking. So the Gemara on the top of Membeis quotes the Pasuk of Marav, 10 lines on the top of Mem Gimel Membeis, Cholan Shama Tahaloko, Haloko, Ezadov Shem Shama Nemes Mimenu, Mena Guf Nemes Mimenu, that's the mocker for Bichas HaReach. What bracha do you say over Reach? So the Gemara has different brachas. That sometimes you say Bari Izbi, sometimes you recite Bari Atze Besamim. If it's a twig on a tree, Ahados, the Gemara says. If you have Atze Besamim or Atze Hadasim or Shemen Afarsimon, the Afarsimon, the twigs from the parsimony bush, so it has a very good smell. So then you say Bari Atze Besamim. Sometimes the Gemara says you say Bari Izbe B'Samim. When do you say Atze B'Samim? When do you say Izbe B'Samim? So it's very unclear. The Gemara just gives you example. On this you say this, and on that you say that. Why is on this this and that that? The Gemara doesn't explain what the rule is. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Tur has a machlekes of Rishonim on this. He points out that Beis Yosef didn't have the Ra'or Amaseches Brachos, that he didn't understand what the Tur was talking about. But we now have the Ra'or, so we see that the Torah is referring to this fundamental machlokes of Rishonim. So some Rishonim and Gaonim, he quotes, the Rashba quotes from the Shiltas, they quote Gaonim and Rishonim, everybody's involved in this machlokes. So some say that it has the same rules and regulations as Bari Prihoetz. You only recite Bari Prihoetz if the branches remain from year to year. That was the Gemara we had before. And it gives off Paris on the same branch next year. So the same over here. You can only be saved Bari Atze V'Samim if the bush is going to remain from year to year and the branches are going to grow again next year from the same bush. Another Rishonim disagree. They say no, that even if you'll have a thing, that if it would have fruits on it, the Ra'or emphasizes this. if these bushes would have fruits on them, we would have said a bar priva adama, because the branches don't remain from year to year. That klal that it has to have the branches that remain from year to year, that's regarding the reciting of bar priva. But bari atziv samim, as opposed to bari is bibsamim, does not depend on the same criterion. Here the criterion just is it hard or is it soft? So if it's a hard stem, sometimes you have flowers. You buy flowers for Shabbos or whatever you buy flowers. So sometimes you have flowers that have a hard stem, and sometimes the stem is very soft. So if the stem is hard, then we refer to it as an atziv samim, even though the whole bush is not going to grow back again from year to year. It's not going to grow back on the same bush again. And bari is v'bisamim, it's called esav if it's soft. So it's a machlokes harishonim. So what do you do? By bari priyets mor priyah adama. So the mechaber writes, if you're mesupik, what the correct bracha is, so you say bari priyah adama, because we pass like the Mishnah, but b'dievet, you say bari priyah adama, and fruits that grow on a tree, so you yates. But over here, there is no rule that bari is v'bisamim is good b'dievet, but bari atz v'bisamim. If it's supposed to be A, it can't be B. If it's supposed to be B, it can't be A. So what bracha could you recite that would cover you with makam safek? So Tosis suggests on Aman Aleph, shahakal niya b'dvorim. Shahakal. Because the Mishnah says, I'm cool and bich shahakal yotza. You had the Mishnah that if you say shahakal yotza. So Tosis holds that the bichas hareich is like part of bichas hanen. It's part of the same series on Mishnayis. The Tosis hamem gimel Aman Aleph. That's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote, if you're mesupik, what bracha to say? You say, barimine b'samim. Barimine b'samim. So, but yeah, but you'll be yotze with barimine b'samim on everything. Yeah, that's the shaila, whether b'chas hareach is part of the same takana b'chas hanenin, or it's a totally different takana. That's what the Tzlach claimed, that from this Gemara, Rav has a totally different mocker, a different pasuk. It appeared that it's a different takon. So that's what we assume, that we say Shahakol, probably not Yotzeviriyah, but if we say Baraminim Samim, it'd be Yotzeviriyah. When else do you say Baraminim Samim? Let's say I go into a location, and they're different. I go into a store where they're selling all kinds of psamim, and they have Atzib psamim, Izbib psamim, and other kinds of things. All different kinds. And I'm getting hanah from all of them at the same time. So then the halacha says, and you say, Boriminim son, because you're getting hanah from everything. So what the nami, if you're mesupik, whether the bracha is supposed to be atzei arizbe, means that it has a hard stem, like a twig, but it's not going to grow again. Next year, it's not going to grow again another stem from the same bush. The whole thing is going to collapse. Going to have to plant it again. So in that case, it's a machlek, it's a rishonim, that the Torah quotes. So we would say in such a case, Boriminim son, isafik, yeah. The Mishnah is not talking about normal smelling psamim. Mishnah is talking about mugma. What was mugma? They used to burn incense, and they used to give off. When they burnt it, it gave a fragrant aroma. So what bracha do you say over there? There you're burning it. So does it make sense to say, bari atzib psamim, rizbi psamim? It's no longer asib. By the time you're getting the reyach done off in the reyach, it's no longer atzib, it's no longer rizbi. So that's a shaila that the Gemara raises. So the Gemara begins, that even though you burn it, that's where Rashi and Tosis point that, even though you burn it, and by the time you get the hanof and the reyach, it's no longer an atzib samim, it turned into smoke. Still, since the fragrant aroma comes from the atzib samim, that's the correct bracha to recite. Then the Gemara says, the yesta kasha from Abraisa, meisve. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta. The first white line on the Amud, the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Tiyufta means that it's upgefrek, that we don't pass like that. So that's the Girsa that we have in the Gemara. When Tosis writes, Alohodus Shebuchal Mokan, the Bala, Alohas Gedodus Lagor is Tiyufta. He doesn't have the same Girsa that we have, that it's upgefrek. According to the way we have printed in our Gemaras, it means whenever you burn the Mugma and you smell it, you say, Boriminim Psalm. You can't say, Atzei or Izbe. It's gone already. It's no longer in the state of Atzi, it's no longer in the state of Izve. But the Bahag doesn't have that Girsa. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Bahag, that the Gemara asked that Kasha, so that the Gemara gave the Teretz. On the Shani, the Teretz was Tanahodz, B'chol the Domele. That when the Braisa says, Eim Evorchim, Boriatz B'samim El Al Afarsim, Shal Beis Rebbe, etc., means called the domi le lapuke. What lapuke? Tosha says tapuchim mechabushim sheini karm lereach ela leechol. So then that's an amid base. The Gemara says if you smell on the second white line on mem gimel amid base, ayman demayrach besroga bechabushim amid bachshenas and reach tov bapeiros. Yeah, what does it mean? Hayman demayrach. If a person takes an esrog in order to be yotzei dechavos, he's not really interested in smelling it. A person takes an esrog or some other fruit in order to eat it, he's not really interested in smelling it. So then you don't say a bracha. You don't recite a bracha. Tosis writes on Amud Beis. Hayman demayrach beesrog bechavusha. Davki kishem irech behem.
Or if the person wants to be yotz in the mitzvah, he's not interested in smelling it. It smells good, mele, he has an awe from it. But he's not really interested in smelling it, then you don't recite the bracha on the reich. The only time you say a bracha is if you are interested in smelling. Yeah. And the esrog shel mitzvah on sukkahs, the Gemara said the feirish. Esrog ma'raymed lachilo. So that's why you say, shenos reich toba peris. Peris means peris that omdim lachilo. The esrog on sukkahs is hooked to the mitzvah, so the Gemara says in sukkah it's hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it, but you are permitted to smell it. The hodos is ikora oimid l'reach. So the hodos, which is hooked to the mitzvah, so it's also l'hariach bo. But the esrog shel mitzvah is mutal l'hariach bo, it's just also b'achila. Because it's also b'achila, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes some Rishonim who say that it's no longer oimid l'achila. That's called ein oimid l'achila. Mishnah Berurah is very unhappy about that. He has a long beer halacha. He's very unhappy. What can he do? Unhappy. But that's what it says. That's opinions in late Rishonim. Since the esrog is hooked, if you have an esrog which is hooked to the mitzvah, so it's also bachilo. So that's not called einoy milach. Even though if the sukkah is over, then he is going to eat the esrog. But since for the duration of sukkahs, not allowed to eat it, so maybe you're not supposed to say shenos nareach to baperis. But you should say some other bracha. So what should you say? Bori mini psavim. Say another bracha. So because there's a machloikis, what bracha to say? Shunos arech to baperis, because basically it is oimid l'achila. You're going to eat it after sukkahs is over. Or should I say no? Since it's hooked to the mitzvahs, also b'achila, so it's called ein oimid l'achila. It's only oimid l'arech. So you should say the bracha. Bori mini psavim. So because of the machloikis, so we avoid smelling the esrog during the duration of sukkahs. And the Gemara says, if you have shemen, from Eretz Yisrael, that has a very fragrant smell, so what bracha should you say? So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim was such a big Zionist. He lived in Bavel. How big a Zionist could he be? Right? I did a Habibala Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael so much. That's it. He was never there. He never saw all the politics that's going on. So from a distance, he loved it so much. So he used to say, Bori Shemen Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw all the politics. So he wasn't so excited about what's going on. So he said, didn't say Bori Shemen Eretz Yisrael. He said Bori Shemen Arev. Okay. So there is a special bracha, Bori Shemen Arev. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a machlekes amarayim. What if you have a twig that has a fragrant smell? But if you would smell that twig itself, that branch itself, you would have said Bori Atzei Bisamim. What about mishcho kivisha? What if you have oil? Well, you have this twig on the bottom, and because the twig has this fragrant aroma, so the whole oil smells good. Even if you would have removed the twig, the oil would remain with the pleasant smell. So what bracha do you say when you smell the oil, when the twig is covered over? So that's a machlokes in the Amoraim in the Gemara. So the first Amora said, if the twig is not the end, if it's covered over with all the oil, even though it's there on the bottom, you don't say Boreatz B'Samim. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin not only the twig the end, even Mishcha Kvisha, even if the twig is on the bottom of the container, you also say Boreatz B'Samim. And even Mishcha Trina, Machlokes Samaran, what if you grind it up? What if you grind up the twig? And it's no longer the end, but it's mixed in. So we paskin, even so, you still say Bore. Atzei b'samim. Even in such a case, you say bari atzei b'samim. Then the Gemara Namid Beis quotes a pasuk. That's a shaila. What exactly are they? What are they trying to prove in that pasuk? Atit b'nei b'fish deha eitz. That Rochav Hazayna had pishtim on the rooftops, the pishtim grow on branches, on a bush, and she hid the two meraglim in the twigs, so when the police would come look for them, they wouldn't find them. But titbenem the fish tehoids. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk to demonstrate that not only a tall tree that you can climb up on is it bariatze b'samim, if you break off a branch and it smells good, even if it's just a little bush and it has twigs, you also say it's also called eitz, and it also warrants the bracha bariatze b'samim. Okay. But the shaila is, it still doesn't indicate which opinion is more correct from the machlekes that the Tur quoted. Does it have to correspond to the rules and regulations of Bari Prihoitz? Has to be a bush where the branches are going to grow year after year again in the same location? Or even if it's not the case? Then the Gemara has the brach that hardly anybody ever says. If a person goes out during Yom Nissan and he sees the trees are growing and everything is beautiful, so he say, Baruch Shalachisa Ba'ilam Meklum, and Baruch Ba'ar Briyas Tavis V'ilonis Tavis Lohanis Behem B'nei Yom. Some Acharanim say, you only say the bracha if you have a minimum of two trees, because it says Ilonis Tavis. And some Acharanim say it has to be that the trees are fruit-bearing trees, that people eat the fruits, Lohanis Behem B'nei Yom. If the peiros are always rotten, no one ever eats it, so you don't say the bracha. So that's why it's questionable. If you live in the city, they'll always point out there's one tree over here, that the one tree over there, one tree over there, the fruits fall down and the birds eat it. The people never get to eat the fruits. Or sometimes there's one tree, you don't have two trees. So that's what some achrayim say. This bracha is miuchad for people who live on a farm. You go out, you see nature. Not in the middle of Manhattan, you have one tree that has fruits. You say, "Brach." It has to be that you really see everything is looks beautiful. Come alav levi, everything looks beautiful. Then you say the brach. That's a shaila. And Omer Aleph, the Gemara made a distinction between different Reichos, sometimes say Bari Atzib Samin, Bari Izbib Samin, Bari Minim Samin. So the Gemara says, Mosk, by the tiny letter Vav. Kolam Gemara's Mavach Alayim Bari Atzib Samin, except for Mosk, which comes from an animal, that you don't say Atzib Samin or Izbib Samin. It's not a tree, and it's not a grass. You say Bari Minim Samin. Fine. So the Rabbi Yoni raises the question that some Goyim used to take this musk and mix it into soup, mix it into food, in order that the food should have a fragrant aroma. So the question is it kosher or not? Is the musk kosher? The Gemara only talks about smelling the musk. What bracha you say? What about eating the musk? Is that okay? So Rabbi Yonah says that he thinks that it's mutter. What does it mean it comes from a chayo? So Rashi claims that it comes from the rei of an animal. It comes from the tzoa, Rashi mina rei shalachaya. If it comes from the tzoa, from the stomach, snifsa machila sadam. So the dinas are yotzim in a aser aser, chol of behemat mei is aser, and beitzim from an oif tami are rotzer. The Gemara in Chulin learns that from the pasuk is bas hayana refers to beitz as oif tami. And that pasuk is the mocker of the din of kalay yotzim in a tami tami. Tami means a non-kosher animal. Milk that comes from a pig, or a bird that comes, an egg that comes from an eagle, an ostrich egg, an eagle egg, is also machil. There's a mission in the first parak in Bcheris. So that rule, kal yetz men atami tami, only applies if the thing is royal achila. The milk is royal achila, the eggs are royal achila. What if you have merag lime or tzoa? So the Gemara has a sophic there in Bcheris regarding merag lime shal chamor. There isn't automatically a principle that whatever is waste product, somebody thought there's an automatic principle, whatever is a waste product,
is automatically mutter. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara has a suffix. What about meraglaim shel chamor? Is it also a mutter? Why? Is it yotze min hatamei tamei or not? So the Gemara apparently thinks the meraglaim shel chamor, if you put it on a table in a pitcher with ice cubes in a wedding, you don't tell anybody what it is. You don't have a label on it. So people will drink it. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva. So he said, see, for that Gemara, when you're trying to test to see whether it's a royal achilas adam or not, you don't tell them this is meraglaim shel chamor. Of course no one's going to want to drink it. You put it on a table and you see people drink it. They said people will drink it, so it's called royal achilas. But if you have something that's clearly nifsam achilas, so then normal meraglaim is nifsam achilas. So then it'll be mutter. Yeah, will it be an isa de rabbanu? Okay, so that's a discussion. Maybe this should be an isa de rabbanu. So here the Rabbi Yoina has a different version. Not the way Rashi says. Rashi says over here comes from the Tzoa. You find it in the Rei. Rabbi Yoina claims that the blood circulates in the body of this Balchai. He claims it's a non-kosher animal from India. They import the musk from India, he says. And the blood is converted into this musk. So the shaila is it kosher or treif? Because it's the dam of the behemoth meir should be like the cholov of a behemoth meir. Should be a yetzim and asa, should be awesome. Aside from which it's dam, has an isa dam. Dam from a behemoth meir has an isa koris of dam also. Maybe it has an isa of behemoth meir also, if you hold dam b'chalav basa. That's a shaila in Tosis, where the dam is b'chalav basa, dam is not b'chalav basa. So it may have an isa dam. And in addition to which, it may have an Isra of Behemoth Meir as well. So the Rabbi Yoni says it's mutter. Why is it mutter? So he says, if you take a piece of nevela meat and you put it into a big container of honey, you leave it there long enough, so the meat will convert into honey. So he says, that's a davar pasha, that's mutter. So this also is also mutter. Why? Because an Isra, he develops that concept. An Isra shenishtana becomes mutter. The behemoth may have started off a piece of pork, a piece in the veil or tray, for then it converts to become into honey. So if it's nishtana to a panim chadash is baolakan, isa shenishtana, a whole different chemical composition. So then he says that it becomes mutter. So he says the musk is the same, it's an isa shenishtana. So the Rosh quotes this from the Rabbeinu Yoida. The Rosh was later, after the Rabbeinu Yoida. The Rabbeinu Yoida with the Ramban were mechurtanim. The children married each other. And the Rosh was a contemporary of the Rajbo. The Rosh took over the Rabbanus of the Rajbo in Barcelona after he died. The Rajbo was a Talmud of the Ramban. So he was after Rabbeinu Yoni. So he quotes very often, he quotes Rabbeinu Yoni and he says, Arach Arabai. He said, Rabbeinu Yoni proves that the mosque is mutter from the mushel, from the piece of meat, the nevela meat that you put into the container full of honey, that it turns into honey as mutter. So he says, how do you know that that's true? Maybe that's also not true. Maybe the meat and the nevela that turned into honey is also awesome. So how did the Rabbeinu Yoina know for sure that that's mutter? So that apparently he understood. That's a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah.
Doesn't that have to be nifsal first?
That's a question. We'll get to that in a minute. What's the hezbar? Some say it has to be nifsal. How did the Rabbeinu Yoina get the original din? So that apparently he understood a Gemara in Avodah Zarah like that. Mishnah in Avodah Zarah lists off all the different foods that you're not permitted to buy from a Nachri. So it says you're not allowed to buy wine from a Nachri, and if you do, it's also Bahano, because it may be Ayinasa. You're not allowed to buy other things from a Nachri, maybe Tikrubis Abedizar, also Bahano. Other things you're not allowed to buy, let's say, tuna fish. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to buy tuna fish from a Nachri. Okay, maybe he mixed in non-kosher fish into the tuna fish. You're not allowed to buy other things from a guy, maybe he mixed in non-kosher food, so it's also Bahayla Mutabahano. So it lists off. Then a third Mishnah that says, in the following foods, there's no shaila at all, you're permitted to buy the food, and it's kosher, it's mutabachil. So the Mishnah says honey, that you're permitted to buy honey from a non-Jew. So the Gemara raises the question, why is it mutter to buy honey? Maybe the goy mixed in chazash malts into the middle of the honey. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Misra kosaria. What does it mean, misra kosaria? So the Ran and the Rishonim give two pshatim on that Gemara. So the Pasha Pshat, Rashi learns on that Gemara, Misra Kosaria, The guy is not a nar, he's not a fool. He's going to mix in chaz hashmatz, he's going to ruin his whole business. Who's going to want to buy his honey from him? So they're very careful for business purposes. Umalamar, no, he's not going to mix in schmaltz. The customer, he's going to lose his whole business. So no, for sure, he's not going to mix in any chaz hashmatz. The Gaonim, the Ran quotes, the Gaonim had a different pshat. If you mixed in chaz hashmatz into honey, and it converted into honey, so the din is at its mutter. So that's what Rabbi Yonah is giving, that's the mashal. If you put in chaz hashmatz, if you put in chazer into honey, converts into honey, is mutter, but now he knows that this is also mutter. So he must have understood the Gemara with his Zohar like that. So the Shah said, why should that be mutter? What kind of a din is that? So some Rishonim, how do you translate the word Mr. Kasaria? Spoils. So some Rishonim interpret the way you are saying, when you have the chazer converts to become honey, obviously there's a chemical process that's occurring. There's a major change taking place in front of us. So it's going to reach a point during which it's going to become nifsal, the chazer is going to become nifsal me'achila sadam, and then it's going to move on to the further stage to become honey. So since it reached the point at which it was nifsal me'achila sadam, that's a literal translation of the words misra kasaria, it's going to get spoiled. Rashi learns misra kasaria, the guy is not going to mix in chaz hashmatz, he's going to ruin his honey. Misra kasaria is going to ruin the honey. And the others say no, the chazer that converted to become honey is muta because misra kasaria. They don't just say isa shenishtana. they say differently, they say that Misra Kasari means that it got spoiled. So that's what some Achronim, the Vilna Goyin, understands like that. Be a Ragron, Shulchan Aruch. This whole discussion is quoted in Reish Tezayin. In Aruch Chaim, Reish Tezayin, the simon about Reah. But it comes up very often in Yerideya. Halacha L'maaseh, it comes up in Kashrus. Very often you have a Michael, which undergoes a major chemical change because he mixes in other chemicals and it undergoes a chemical change. And it's in Gantzen Anu Parim Chadashah. So what's the din? So the Vilna Goyin understands this, Rabbi Yonah, having said that Anisa Shenishtana, in order that it should be Nishtana, has to first become Nifsal Me'achila Sadam, and then it changes into the second stage. So since at one time it was Nifsal Me'achila Sadam, even though it moves on to the next stage and it becomes right Achila Sadam, it still remains Mutter. That's Bemis Achidish. That's Bemis Achidish. That's usually attributed to the Chavos Das. Chavos Das in Yerideya has a chiddush like that. That if you have a Nisa Deraisa that a Macholas Asuras that become Nifsal Me'achila Sadam, and it's awful, and then you mix in a lot of sugar and flavoring and everything, now it tastes delicious. So he says, once it became Mutter, it remains Mutter Li'olavot. You don't say that it's chayzev in the year. Because sometimes, let's say, when they import alcohol, there's an alcohol tax. When you import alcohol into America, so the government charges a big tax for it. And so that's only if the damed b'mamur, if the alcohol is roi l'shtiyah. If it's not roi l'achilas b'nei adam, then there is no tax. So this is a gimmick that all the companies do. They take alcohol, and when they're about to import it into America, so they put in something that makes it poisonous, so they don't have to pay the tax. And then after they bring it into the country, then they remove all of the poison that they mixed in, and then it tastes delicious. L'chor, in such a case, probably the Chavos Das would agree that it should be awesome. I made something, nifsal me'achila sadam. Then I just undid everything that I did originally and I reverted it back to its original position. It's that mamshi back where you started from. So the chavar there, the Chavos Das would probably agree. Chavos Das probably talking about such a case where it was nifsal me'achila sadam and then I mixed in sugar and flavoring, I made it roi l'achila sadam and went on to a new stage, not that I reverted back to the original stage. Because that's the ride that he brings from the Gemara in the end of Tmura. The Gemara talks about I have a bird. Let's say I have a kosher hen that's a trefa and it lays eggs, if such a thing is physically possible. The Gemara is not sure. So let's assume that such a thing is possible. A trefa bird lays eggs. So the eggs are rasa bachil. That's beitz asayif tamei or beitz astreifa is rasa bachil. Ayetzim and asar is rasa. That's the pasuk bas hayana. That beitz asayif tamei or beitz astreifa is rasa. So then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat the egg the way it is. But let's say the mother hen is going to sit on the egg. It's going to develop to become a chick. And then you want to know later on, you want to shech the chick and eat it. Is that mutar b'achila? Do you say that since when the egg was born, it was noilad min ha-trefa, beitz ha-trefa is asa b'achila, remains asa b'achila? Or maybe it should be mutar. So the Gemara says in the end of Tmura that it's mutar. Why? Because when the hen sits on the egg and it develops into a chick, it undergoes a major change in the middle of which period it has to sit for a while. Doesn't turn into a chick overnight. So it has to sit for quite a while. So it'll undergo a major change during which period of time it'll become Nifsal Ma'achila Sodom. Since it became Nifsal Ma'achila Sodom, even though later on it's Ra'il Achila Sodom, it'll remain Mutal Yonavot. So the Chavos Da'as says, you see from that Gemara what I'm trying to bring out, he says. That whenever you have Macholos Asuras that become Nifsal Ma'achila Sodom, even though it moves on to a later stage, not only moves on to a later stage because you mixed in sugar and flavoring, even if it's a natural process, it happens by itself. The mother hen is sitting on the egg and it hatches and it turns into develops into a chick. Even though it's one long natural process, but since in the middle of that process there was a period of time during which it was Nifsa Machila Sodom, even though it becomes Royal Achila Sodom later, it's hopping around and you shecht it, you want to salt it, you want to eat it, you want to cook it. You see from the Gemara that it remains mutter. Rab Chaim in the Sefer on the Rambam doesn't refer to this Chavos Da'as. He just talks about that Gemara and Tmura. So he thinks that Gemara and Tmura is only he claims that this is how the Rambam on the Siddur Gemara. Gemara and Tmura is only talking about a specific prohibition of Yotzin and Ha'asim. A yotzim in ha'aser is aser, a beitz asayif tamei, an egg is a chaneg. So why is there a difference between an egg from a kosher hen and an egg from a treifa hen? So it's a gzeres hakosva, yotzim in aser is aser. Or milk from a behemoth male. So yotzim in aser is aser. Why? So the pasuk bas hayano. So the pasuk tells you because it relates to the dover ha'aser. Since the beitza came from an oif tamei or from an oif treifa, so it's yotzim and aser is aser. What if it reaches a stage that it's nifsal ma'achila sodom? So during that period of time, is ichamuta. Whenever you have macholos asuras that become nifsal ma'achila sodom, it turns into hetem. So later on, when it becomes royal achila, it no longer relates back to the oif tamei, and on its own, it's an efreach. Efreach is a kosher bird. So you can't say it's a yotzim and ha'asa. Yotzim and ha'asa was when it came out of the treifa. When it came, if you have a hen that's a treifa that lays an egg, so the egg is a yotzim and ha'asa is asa. The egg will remain asa b'toris yotzim and ha'asa. Calls man that it's roi l'achila. Once it reaches a stage, nifsa machila says no longer relates to the oif tamei or to the oif treifa. No longer has a din of yotzim and ha'asa. Rab Chaim thinks that maybe based on his understanding of the Rambam, we have to restrict that gemara and limited dafke to cases of yotzim and ha'asa. But if you have mamish chazer, and the chazer becomes nifsal ma'achilo, and then it becomes royal achilo later on, because you mix in flavoring, so he thinks that in such a case it should be awesome. He thinks that that gemara is only restricted to such a situation. So this is a shada that comes up very often in kashrus. If you have the Rabbeinu Yoina claims that an Issa Shenishtana, you started off with Macholas Asuras, you have an Issa, and then it undergoes a major change, and it converts to become something totally different. So just like the Chazer converts to become honey, or the dam of this Chayat Meyo converts to become musk, it has a pleasant smell and a pleasant flavor. He says that that's Mutter. And the Rosh disagrees with the whole thing. And in the Rabbeinu Yoina, there are two versions, exactly why he was Mutter. So the Vilna Gaon understands because it underwent a change. There was a period of time during which it was Misra Kosarya, during which it was Nifsal Ma'achila Sodom. So even though later on it becomes Royal Achila Sodom, it remains Mutter. Another Acharonim understands the Rabbeinu Yoina, no, he just said that any Yisus Shenishtana. and the Yisrael Shenishtan is Panim Chadosh is Bo Lekan. Like we learned above a Kama, when you have a Shinui, so Shinui is not doesn't retain its original identity. So this whole discussion is Amagen Avram with the Prima God, and this is all in Reish Tezayin and Hilchas Birchas Hareach. The Mishnah Brura there quotes the Achra of the Prima Godim that we treated like not exactly treated like a Sveika Dedina. So if it would have been an Issa Deraisa that fell in, we would say Issa Shenishtan is us. If it's an Issa Derabbanan that fell in, we would say an Issa Shenishtan is Mutter. But then he says, not only if it's an Issa Derabbanan do you say it's Mutter. You can say because it's a suffix, machloek is the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yoinim. So you can say a suffix deraisa luchumah suffix derabbanan kula. But he says not so. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Godim. Even if you're dealing with an Issa deraisa that's going to be mixed in as an ingredient into a whole soup, into a whole big meichel, and you're going to have shishim against it, but it's going to be a dava hamamid. So Dabar Mamed is a chumrim with the Rabbanon that Dabar Mamed afil be'elef le'batil. So since the din of Dabar Mamed is only the Rabbanon, so you have a right to be mekel there also on an Issa Shenishtana. So based on the normal rules and regulations, we should really l'chore consider that an Issa Deraisa. We should treat that like a Sofik Deraisa l'chumrim. If you have a Sofik on an Issa Deraisa, let's say you have I cooked some food in a pot. I bought something in the store. I bought some canned goods in the store. And I didn't notice whether I had a hashgacha or not. It could be that it was Campbell's pork and beans. It could be that it was Campbell's beans. It could be that it had an OU. It could be it didn't have an OU. And then I ate it, tasted kosher. I ate it, and I washed out the pot. Now I want to know, can I use this pot when it's ben yomo? So that's a suffix deraisa l'chum. It may be the pot is a treif. Within 24 hours, you're not allowed to. So what's the problem? So I'll wait. Why do I have to bother to kashrut? It's the chasofik. I'll wait till 24 hours will go by from the last time that I cooked the possible non-kosher food in it. And then it'll become a din derabbanan, a treif of pot that you waited 24 hours. A klisheni ben yom only needs kashrut min derabbanan. So it says in the achrayim that we consider that a sofik deraisa l'chumra, even though it's now converted to become a sofik derabbanan. If the latest sofik was, someone called me up Erev Thanksgiving, that last year they didn't 100% keep kosher. So they have a turkey thermometer that they only use once a year, l'kavod Thanksgiving. And last year they're not sure, they used this turkey thermometer. They're not sure if the turkey that they used last year, the turkey was kosher. They remember they bought turkey, kosher turkey. They don't remember if all the ingredients were kosher. It could be they used a non-kosher pot. But they put away the, and then by this year they're already more kosher than they were last year. This year they're already more kosher. Their children, the son and their daughter became so religious, so now the parents became all kosher. So the Shiloh is, can they use the turkey thermometer from last year? So the latest Asafik was only noiled in the middle of the year sometime. Last year and last Thanksgiving, there was no Shiloh. They weren't interested in being kosher. The old Shiloh was Noilad now, looking back in retrospect, 2-3 days before Thanksgiving this year, they start to wonder whether the thermometer became treif last year or it didn't become treif, even if it became treif. But it's already 11 months and many days. It's already way after 24 hours. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's called the Safik Derabbanan L'Kulav. The latest Safik was Noilad after 24 hours, that's called Safik Derabbanan L'Kulav. If the latest Safik was noiled within 24 hours, whether I use this kli for kosher food or non-kosher food, that's a suffix deraisa, so then it's not going to help if I'll wait 24 hours afterwards. That's called a suffix deraisa, shenis galgali a suffix derabon. Since at the time of the latest suffix, when I realized I have a problem on my hand, last year on Thanksgiving there was no problem. They weren't mendaktik and kashrus. This year the parents decided they better become more observant because of their children. So that's the din of Shulchan Aruch, that if the latest hasafik occurred within 24 hours and it's a safik deraisa l'chumra, so you have to go l'chumra even after 24 hours go by. So here the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Hachra of the Prima Godim. He says if you have anisa deraisa shenishtana, let's say I put the piece of chazer in the honey and the whole thing converted into honey, and the Rosh says that it's asa, and Rabbeinu Yoni says that it's mutter. So he says you're not allowed to eat the middle part of the honey. Mechayshish for the Rosh Hashita, then Issa Shenishtana is also. But if I'm going to take this thing and mix it into a big Michael, and I'm going to have Shishim against all the possible Issa, the only thing is that it's still also because it's a Dovah Hamamid, and the whole din of Dovah Hamamid is only with the Rabbanon. So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pimagadim Yikami Mekel. So that's not based on the normal rules and regulations of Safik Deraisa Luchum Safik Rabban al-Kula. You wouldn't be able to say Safik Rabban al-Kula. This started off as a Safik Deraisa. Am I allowed to eat this Maichal or not? And when Machma like the Rosh, you're not allowed to eat it. So why is he Mekel if you're going to mix it in? Before you mix it in, he says you're permitted to mix it in into a Maichal, but you know for sure you're going to have Shishim, even though it's only going to be a Dabar HaMamin, because Dabar HaMamin is only Midir Rabban al-Loi Batal. So there you have a right to be Mekel. Right. Eim Abatanis Lachatchila. So apparently, the whole din of Eim Abatanis Lachatchila is only with the Rabbanon. So you have a right to be Mekel. But when you get to all din of the Rabbanon, you have a right to be Mekel. Normally, we would say not so. We would say if I have a Sofik Deraisa, Sofik Deraisa Luchumra, even with respect to those aspects that are only with the Rabbanon, like to mix it in. Eim Abatanis Lachatchila is a din of the Rabbanon. But the Shorish HaSofik is a Sofik Deraisa. Are you allowed to eat it or not? So we would say you're not allowed to mix it in. But here, he's being the prima godin, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Simei Reish Tanya. He's being mekel more than in a normal case of Safik the Rabbanon l'kula. So what he's basically saying is that the din is really like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Where machma like the Rosh, if you have the Issa deraisa mamish, but whenever there is, you're not dealing with an issue deraisa, you're dealing with other aspects. Dover Amamid, or Eim Avatad Issa L'Hatchila. You don't treat it as a real... This machlek is the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah. He's not treating it like a real Safik Deraisa L'chumra. He's reading Mikra, then he's passing like the Rabbeinu Yonah, that it is a Shenishtana is Mutter. But we wouldn't eat the thing itself. When you're dealing with an issue Deraisa, you wouldn't eat the thing itself. But all other aspects, when it gets to this issue, we would be making like the Rabbeinu Yonah. So that's a big discussion in Achrayim. Is that really so? Issa Shenishtana. What constitutes an Issa Shenishtana? There is a Gemara in, I was talking to somebody over 20 years ago about a certain issue. So he called up on the phone, I don't know, from outer space. I don't know. He left a message, I don't know where in the world he lives even. So he left a message from 20 years ago. Now he must be 85 years old, 90 years old, I don't know. So he left a message on my phone that what I spoke to him about 25 years ago is not so. He read a half a line in the Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has like this. Let's say a Jew manufactured wine, and the wine fermented, and it turned into vinegar. And then a non-Jew handles the vinegar. So the Gemara says there's no Isser of Maga Akum, the Yain Yisrael, because the Goyim are only Menasech wine, they're not Menasech vinegar. If a Goy takes tea and he pours it on his mizbech, the water becomes asmana if you know for sure that it was manasach. If he takes vinegar and he pours it on the mizbech, it will become yain esach, for sure. But there's no chashash, the gezeira the rabbana, that the stam yainam, the maga akamas is because of the chashash. Maybe he was manasach, the yain only applies if it's yain at the time that the nochri is nageyabo. So what happens if the nochri manufactured wine and it became asmana, and then the wine fermented and it turned into vinegar? So the Mishnah says, Eilat Devarim, the Mishnah, there are three Mishnahs in Avodah Zarah. What you're not allowed to buy from a goy, it's going to be awesome, I know. When you're not allowed to buy from a goy, it'll be awesome. Ba'achila mutah b'ano, the fish and the other things. And what you are allowed to buy from the goy, that there's no chashash, the honey and the other things that the Mishnah has. So the Mishnah says, if you buy vinegar from a goy, it's going to be awesome, I know. So the Gemara says, pshita, of course it's going to be awesome, I know. Just because it turned into vinegar, so Nechate said that that's enough to say that it should be mutar. So the Gemara gives a whole chiddush what the Mishnah is telling me. So you see from the Gemara that there's a distinction. If the Nachri handled it when it was in the state of wine and it became asabano, it doesn't help the fact that it converts into vinegar later on. If the Nachri handled it while it's in the state of vinegar, means a Jew manufactures wine and then they took the wine and they converted the wine into vinegar, and then the Nachri steps into the picture. The Nachri handles it, so the Maga Nachri on the vinegar doesn't ask it. That's what it says in the Gemara. But if you had Maga Nachri on wine, then it converts it to vinegar. So the Gemara said, pshita, then it's going to be asamano. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has in his Sefer, Asman Derais, a whole essay about this topic, about this machloik, is the Rabbi Yoni with the Rosh, about Anisa Derais, Shinishtana, what's the din? So he asked, on that Gemara, why does the Gemara say pshita? Why is it so elementary? Why is it so obvious that it remains asamano? Maybe according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there should be a svara lahakel. I should treat it like an issa shenishtana. It started off as wine, at which time it became masa b'achila asamano. Then when it converts into vinegar, let's consider that like an issa shenishtana. So he answers, how come none of your shayim pointed out? So he says, obviously that's not sufficient shinui. In order to be considered an issa shenishtana, you need a major change. Like, for example, the piece of chazer converted to become honey. That's a major change. But if just wine has a spunky flavor, when grape juice turns into wine, let's say the non-Jew squeezed out grapes and made grape juice, then the grape juice sits by itself and it converts into wine, you're going to say it's an issa shenishtana, because the grape juice converted into wine, so we don't consider that an issa shenishtana. And then when the wine converts to become vinegar, we don't consider it an issa shenishtana either. Undergo a major shinui. Major shinui. So apparently the Gemara assumes that this is not sufficient shinui.
Why is the latest asof totally in the das of the person? They're the same chafetz. Morris that does know that it's a suffix. So he waits till the next stage. For him it will be a suffix for Rabbonim. Somebody that knew about it, because he knows the halacha, for him it becomes a suffix by Raisa. A suffix by Yonah. It's like Malikai the same way suffix invested on this chafetz. It's fully in the person's knowledge of the suffix.
All the dinim of Safik deraisa l'chumra, Safik derabana l'kula, these are dinim in Hanhagah. So dinim Hanhagah, the Torah only tells us, the halach only, tamad dinim deraisa, tamad dinim derabana. The halach only gives these dinim when the people realize that they have an issue on their hands, when they realize they have a problem. Kozman, they don't realize they have a problem, so there are no dinim Hanhagah at all. If you'd be talking about Raiv is Mavar, what the facts of the case are, so it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter when they're right. Whenever you have a right, you have a right. But we're talking over here, Safik deraisa l'chumra and Safik derabban l'kula. These are arbitrary dine hanhoge. How to be noyig if you don't know what the facts are. So this, the Torah, the halacha, only gives dine hanhoge once the person realizes he has an issue on his hands. That's a shayla, let's say it's a negoisha company. The Safik derabban is a negoisha company. So if it doesn't belong to us, it's irrelevant. The whole thing is irrelevant. So maybe that's not called Yediyas HaTaruvus. Yeah, you have to have Yediyas HaTaruvus in order to know that you have to know that you have a problem on your hand. Because man, you don't realize you have a problem. So the Torah doesn't give any dinim of Hanhagen. Yesterday when we learned Bava Kama, we learned Merubah. Yeah. So we pointed out. The Gemara says, Machleg Zabai V'Rabah. So Rabba says that Eid Zaymen is Mikanal Habohu Nifsal. We pass an exam in the Mafrehu Nifsal. Rabbah has Mikanal Habohu Nifsal. Why? So the Gemara gave two reasons for Rabbah. So one reason was it din the Rabbanon, Mishum Seder de Lukuchas, Hefke Bezen Hefke. And one reason was a reason on the level of their Isa. Exam in Chidushu, Elach Baim Nishaz Chidushu Mel. So what's me? Exam in Chidushu. It means that it's only a din Hanhoge. Rabbah holds the whole din. The whole din of Eitzaymeh, my chos is the Tzai Slahani, Tzai Slahani. The whole din is only a din hanhoge. We don't really have a birur. Who's telling the truth? So since it's a din hanhoge, so all din hanhoge only apply mikal al habo. From that time on, then I realize that I have an issue. It can't apply limafreya. So that's the same as this din. That all the dinim of bitul beroiv, all the dinim of safik deraisa lechumra, the dinim of safik derabanan lekulam, all these dinim depend on yediyas hatarubis. Cause man that you don't realize you have an issue on your hands, so the halacha doesn't say how to be machriya. Then the Gemara is quoting all the members of Marzutra, Rav Zutra, Bar Tuvya, Omar Rav. Different members, one after the other. Unconnected, just because they're all same Amora. So one of them is the fascinating member that he quotes in the middle of Amud Beis. Noach, he quotes the name of Shim Ba'ichoy. Noach, Lord, Mshiapalat, Melatech Kim Shanesh, Ayal Mfenech Haver Barabim, Menolam Mitom, Himut Seis, Vigoyma. So the Rambam never quotes this Gemara. Why not? He quotes, they have a tzil in the Rambam. You're not allowed to bomb penechaver barab. Okay. But he doesn't quote this. You have to, it's better to lose your life than to be Baal Pnei Chaver Baram. That he doesn't quote. We would assume that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Kol HaTor Kula. So Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha, even the Yisr Baal Pnei Chaver Baram. How can it be? The Taisus in Saita, this same memory appears in Saita and Daf Yud. The Taisus in Saita assumes that this is a real halacha. It's not an agarita. The Rambam assumes that it's an agarita. It's a guzma.
The question of Noach is not tzibur.
Right.
Saying that's
right.
Should be your attitude towards
such a. Noach la'adam, yeah. So the is it a midas chasidus even? Is it permissible? Usually when you have a situation, pikuach nefesh comes up in conflict with the din in the Torah, so the Rambam says you're not permitted to be machmer. You have to save your life, and if you decide to be machmer, you're mischai benafsho. It's considered as if you violated suicide. So how does the Gemara say noach lalo? It means an attitude, okay? One should have such an attitude, but halacha lamaisa, it's not to be taken literally. That's apparently what the Rambam assumed. It's not a real din. Tosis over there is bothered with Akasha. How come in Sanhedrin and Dafayim Beis, when the Gemara talks about Yehorek Valyavar, the Gemara only quotes three exceptions to the din is that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kolotar Kula, except for Avodizar Gil Reis and Shvichas Domin. So Tosis says, how come it's not mentioned over there with respect to Malm Penechaver Barab? So Taisa says, no, that's a befeilish apostle in the Chumash. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafayim Beis doesn't have to quote that. But the Zogel of Ashur Chizdam is not befeilish. That they had a drei till they fetched it out from the Psukim. So that, those are the three listed there. But this is mamish a befeilish apostle. So Taisa takes the Gemara kipshuto, literally. The Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva has a famous comment. He understands like Taisa that it's a real din. It's not an agarite. It's not just a guzma. And he says that maybe Mal Pnei Chaver Barab means an Abizrayu or Shvichas Domin. That's a question in Rishonim. When you say Horeg Bal Yavor, does it only apply to the actual Aveira itself, or does it even apply to Abizrayu? Is another Issa that's related to the Avodah Zarah. Let's say there's a Gemara. Gilead Rice, the Gemara Hedden tells a story. The man was crazy about a girl. The girl was either single or married. The Gemara's not sure. And they said, let him die rather they'd even violate looking at the girl. We wouldn't even permit him to look at the girl. So that's Mamish. That's Abizrai. That's not Gilead Rice, Mamish. So the Rishonim said, well, maybe that was a Hiru Ashur. Maybe that was only. Because one opinion of the Gemara is that the girl was single. So the girl was single, so. You can't even cook. One version was that the girl was an Eshesish. They understand the Eshesish is Gilei Reis. The girl was single. So how serious can the Issa be? So the Gemara says, Shelo Yehu ben Eshesha Prutzes Barais. They made a special Hai Rosho. So maybe even when the Gemara said, Bishleim, if she was an Eshesish, we understand. Maybe it means we understand why we made a Hai Rosho, the Migna Milsa, to tell a guy that he should die. But not that that's really the Iker Adin. It's a question how to read that Gemara, that story in Sanhedrin. Is that Mikra Din or not? Yeah, there is a Shaila. The Gemara says, Bakol Misrapim Chutz Me'atzi Asherah. That's the Gemara Psochem Adav Chafei. That you're not allowed to save your life with Atzi Asherah. So what does it mean, Atzi Asherah? It means that the Nazis are chasing after me and I have to cross over the river. And there's a rowboat. And the rowboat was made from Atzi Asherah. So Atzi Asherah Rosa Bano. So I'm not allowed to save my life by getting Hano from a rowboat, from a piece of wood. I'm on a boat. And the boat breaks and everybody's drowning. And if you grab onto a log of wood, you'll be saved. So the only log of wood to grab onto happened to be from a tzelem. And the tzelem achves is also mano. It's a piece of Avodah Zarah. So you say, you're not allowed to get hanor from a... You're not worshipping Avodah Zarah. You're getting hanor from Avodah Zarah. So you say, that's also awesome. Shalom lehonis miyatzi asherim. That's what it sounds one thing more. Bakom misrapu chutz miyatzi asherim. So Taisus there has the two pshatim in the Gemara. And it's a big machlekes, the Balamar and the Ramban. Do you say all the Yisurim that are related to the three Averis, the Gimel Averis, Ahamuris? Avodizar, Gilei Rashi, Chislam, even all the Abizrais also, you say, Yehorek Vayavar. Oh no, only on the actual Aver itself. And this Gemara, Bakom Nisrap, Chutz, Me'ate Asherah, maybe he's talking about a special case. That's how Taisus interprets. Talking about a special case. So that's a shaila, whether we would say there's a stir in Shulchan Aruch between one siman and the other, kufnun ein, kufnun zayin, whether you say the shach points out the stir. So stir in the mechaber. Whether you say yorag val yavar only on the actual aver of Gilei Arayis, or even abizrayu of the Gilei Arayis as well. That was the Asik years ago. A boy took a girl on a date, and they went on a Ferris wheel. And then it was the end of the day. So the one who was running this amusement park didn't realize that there was a couple over there on top. So he closed up and he went home. He closed down the whole thing. And they started to scream, let us down, let us down. He didn't hear. So they were there alone. So the girl said, there's an Issa Yichud. She's not allowed to stay there with the boy. So the boy said, what are you going to do? You want to climb down? You're going to get killed. It's a suffix akana. So the girl said, no, she has to climb down. So the girl started to climb down and she slipped and she got injured. Fashteitzah. She fell down. So she sued the company. So the judge at Paskin that it depends. If according to Jewish law she was obligated to climb down, so then the company is held responsible. If according to Jewish law, they're not mechayiv to climb down. So it's a steer in the mechaber. So what do you do? Well, they say, Yoharik v'ayava by Abizrayu of Yichud. Yichud is not the actual aver of Gilei Arayis itself. It's only an Abizrayu. So that's Taka Shaila, whether you would say in such a case, Yehorig Vayavar. So that's what the Rabbi Yaina has in the famous piece in the Shari Tshuva. He says that maybe Malpanach Adair by Rabbins and Abizrayim Shvichas Domi. Because the Gemara says in Bob Metzia, in Perak Azov, and Daphne and Tessam and Aleph, the same member appears. The Gemara says when a person has a reddish face and you humiliate him, so his face turns white. So it's as if all the blood goes out of his face. In a certain sense, it's Shvichas Domi. Certain sense of Shvichas Damim. Rabbi Yonah understands that that's literally an Abizrayah of Shvichas Damim, and the din is to be taken literally that it's a Harag Valyav. And the Tosis also holds like that. The Tosis and Saita Dafyud holds like that. But the Rambam doesn't quote it. Rambam assumes that it's only an Agarit. Yeah, when you say a bracha on a food, so we always assume Shulchan Aruch is supposed to hold the food in your right hand. What is the mocker for that? So that's the next brisa. When you say Kiddush, you're supposed to hold the Kiddush in your right hand. The Kiddush cup in your right hand, unless you're a lefty. So then you're holding your left hand. Okay? So that's based on the next Gemara. The Gemara has Tan Rabbanon. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta Machlekes B'Shamim B'Sul. Havi Lefneim Shemen V'Yayin. Should you say the Bracha on the Yayin first or on the Shemen first? So whichever one you say the Bracha first, that's the one that you hold B'Yaminai. So Bishamay say, Urchas Hashemen be minimus hayayim bismolo, because Mavaruch al Hashemen, Chos Mavaruch al Hayayim, Basil disagree, they agree to the basic premise. Whenever you say a bracha, you hold it in your right hand. Whenever you're going to say a bracha on two different foods, then you're going to hold one in the right hand, one in the left hand. So the one that you're going to say the bracha on first, you should be held in the right hand. So they argue, Basil argue with Bishamay, they say, Urchas Hayayim be minimus Hashemen bismolo. Because in Mavarach al Hayayin, Chayz Mavarach al Hashemen. That's the Shadim when you say Havdolah. So we know that you say Bar Piragof in the first, then say Bar Minim Psalmim second. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should hold the Yayin in the right hand and the Psalmim in the left hand. Shadim is that then what do you do when you say Bar Minim Psalmim? So some people put down the cup of wine and then they hold the Psalmim in their right hand. So the Pashtus says that that's not right. The Shulchan Aruch assumes that you're supposed to. You're supposed to recite the Bar Minim Psalmim ala kos. So you should be holding the cup of wine while you recite the Bar Minim Psalmim. Strictly speaking, let's say a person says Kiddush and Abdullah, and he leaves the cup on the table. He doesn't pick it up at all. So, but he is Yaitse. Lachatchile, Gemara says, you have to tzorch lagdi a tefach me'al ha'shulchan. Gemara says in Arabic, tzorch, you should pick it up the tefach. But if you didn't pick it up, a person is nervous, he's going to spill it. So he didn't pick it up. So he leaves the cup of wine on the table. The hands are shaking. So, but yeah, but you yotze. But lachatchila, the proper way to recite a bracha al kos is to hold the kos in your hand. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes from the Rav Yoh, that in the middle of Havdalah, when you say Bar Minim Psalmim, so you should switch hands. You should hold the cup of wine in the left hand, hold the Psalmim in the right hand. Shaila said it doesn't say that in the Gemara. Simple reading of the Gemara is not like the Rav Yoh. That's what in the Sefer Imre Noam, where they have the Talmid Hagra quote things in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So he says the simple pshat in the Gemara is that you don't switch hands in the middle. You hold the wine in the right hand, the psalmim in the left hand. He decided you want to say Bar Piagofen first, so that's why you hold the yain in the right hand. Samim is going to come second, so you're going to say, hold it in the left, and you don't switch hands in the middle. The simple reading Gemara is not like the Rav Yom. I don't know, they don't tell you what the Vilna Gaon did, but they tell you the Vilna Gaon thought that the Rav Yos Pshat in the Gemara is not correct. So it's, it sounds like he didn't switch hands in the middle of Havdalah.
What happens if, let's say, someone who actually has to hold the sefer, this is making, he's got a brick on a mirror, he's making a zero from the mirror, so he needs one hand to hold the sefer, and then he's got one hand with a cross,
there's a problem. You should have someone else hold the sefer.
So assuming there's nobody there, then what do you do?
They got no choice, okay. Cufflets. You got no choice. You have to put down the cup of wine. Okay.
Like the cufflets, hold everything.
Okay. You have to figure out some mates. Okay. Yeah, and the first machlek is Bishamim Misilo. That's the second machlek is Bishamim Misilo. They both assume you hold in the right hand. Whatever you say the bracha, and you hold in the right hand, you're saying the bracha on two things. With it, whichever bracha you're going to say first, you hold in the right hand, and that's machlek Hashem and v'yayin. So we pass how do we pass like Basila? No, I would assume we pass like Basila. You say the bracha on the yayin first, then on the Shemin second. Yeah, in the first case, there was a shaila. How do we pass him? Habilif name Shemin v'hodos. Which bracha do you say first? So the way the Braisa presents it, it's a machlek of Bisham and Bisilu. And the Bisilu hold Mavaruch ala Hodos, Machakach Mavaruch ala Shemin. And then comes Rabbi Gamliel and he says, I think we should pass him like Bishamai. And Rabbi Yechanan says, we should pass him like Rabbi Gamliel, who passes like Bishamai. So the Gemara tells a story that on one occasion Rabbi Papa followed Bisilu. He said the bracha on the Hodos first, then on the Shemin second. And they confronted him, they asked, but don't you know that Rabbi Yechanan said the din is like Beis Shammai here? So he says, well, I follow Rava who said the din is like Beis Hillel. So we have the Girsa in the Gemara of Elohi, Ishtamut Enapshi Hudiyava. He told a lie. Rabbi Papa told a lie. He made up a statement that Rava said the din is like Beis Hillel, because he was so embarrassed because they caught him. He didn't know that Rabbi Yechanan had passed like Beis Shammai. So he made up a lie that Rava said that. So you're allowed to do that? When you realize that you made a mistake in halacha, so you say, well, the Vilna Gaon Shita is like that. That's where Al-Sahal Rechig used to complain, that whenever a person makes a mistake, says, I follow the Gaon Shita. Everybody knows the Vilna Gaon has wild Shita. So he used to tell over jokingly that the rabbi in one of the shuls in the New York area announced for the Balabatim, Yontif was going to be on Sunday and Monday. He said, announced for the Balabatim, the week before, don't forget to make an Erev Tavshila. So the Shamas didn't want to insult him in public. So the Shamas went over to the rabbi afterwards and said, what do you know? It's Erev Tavshil. Erev Tavshil is only when Yontif is on Erev Shabbos, not when Yontif is on Sunday. So the rabbi realized that he made a mistake. So he said, the Goyen Shita. The Goyen, you know. Then the Goyen always known to have different Shitas on everything. So that's what he did over here. That's what Rabbi did. He said, Rabbi Paschal is like this. And it's a lie. That's why it's printed in Agamor. It told a lie. So Taisa says, Kach Kosa the Svar. But the Rif doesn't have that Girsa. The Rif has that the din is like Beis Hillel. It's not that Rav Papa told a lie. There's a sifro on the sifrei on the pasuk l'sasu glor yachav manachal loscha shetincha. The pshuto shel mikra goes on stealing land in Eretz Yisrael. If you steal chutz loretz, it's an avera of leisigzal or leisignav, depending whether the neighbor realizes that you stole. If you steal in Eretz Yisrael, say if you steal automobiles or you steal televisions, that's one issa. And if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael, then in addition to the issa of leisigzal leisignav, you're also in violation of sasu goro yachav manachal loscha shetincha. So the sifrei says on that pasuk, if you stay over knowingly, you falsify a psak and halacha, one is in violation of the din of lesasu goro yachav manachal loscha shetincha. Very strange what the connection should be. That's what it says in the Sifrei. So there are a collection of Gemaras where the Gemaras have sometimes like that, like this Gemara. The way we have it printed in our Gemaras, and it says, Kachkos is from Pirush Rashi. Rashi had the Girsa. The Rapapa told a lie just in order to cover up. He said that Rabbi Paskin like Beis Hillel. And it's not true. That's according to that Sifrei, that's an outright violation of the law. If a person is learning Gemara and he suggested a Pshat, Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, what did Rav Meir mean? So one is right, one is wrong. Rav Meir didn't mean both. So the one who said the wrong pshat is Zoyfan Losas of Goyacha, no. It means if you intentionally distort, if you intentionally misrepresent the halacha, then it's a violation of Losas of Goyacha. But by mistake, he can't say that it's a violation. But over here, he knows that he's wrong. Over here, according to the way we have the Giras in the Gemara, our Papa is outright telling a lie. Rabbi said the din is like Bisilu. He knows that it's not true. So that's why many do not have that girsah. It cannot be. But you have other Gemaras. It's a problem. There are other Gemaras like that. Scattered about all over Shas, you have Gemaras like that, where an Amora, to cover up on some mistake that he did, will say, or falsify the din, and they'll say that so-and-so said that's the din. So it's a problem. Yeah, what's the story over here? The Gemara is talking about Havil Lefneim Shemin V'Yayin. This machlekes B'Sham and B'Silo that we spent time on before, with the right hand, with the left hand. What is the Shemin for? So Rashi says the Shemin is... Rashi says the Shemin is to wash his hands at the end of the meal. Rashi writes Shemin V'Hodos, the previous Gemara. Shemin V'Hodos, same thing, Shemin V'Yayin. The Rashi writes, "B'sof hasud, the shemen lost alchiyot of lahavir zoam asochlim. Instead of washing my machrenim with water, use the shemen to get off all the stickiness of the food that he was eating." So the Gemara says, "You got to say a bracha on the shemen." So this is Masig and Rashi. The top text is, "Hi shemen lohariachu. This is not shemen lahavir azuma. Di lahavir azuma hamirim perkei ledvar meim bracha malav." You don't say a bracha at all. The only time you say a bracha, that's like the bottom tesis on the omad. The only time you say a bracha on reach is if you're interested in the reach. But if you're interested in eating the fruit, and it happens to have a nice reach, you're interested in benching esrig, it happens to have a nice reach, but you're not really interested in smelling it. Even though you do smell it, no bracha is recited. So that's what tesis claims over here. If he would be using, if the pshat, they're disagreeing with Rashi, if he would be using the Shem of the Havar Azuma, no bracha would have been recited at all. That's how Tosis read the Gemara on Nun Gimel. Take a look in the Gemara on Nun Gimel. The Gemara exists, but Rashi over there is consistent. Rashi learns that the Gemara never said that. Rashi is the third line from the bottom of the Yaman. Shem and Ha'asir L'Havir Sazuma Eim Evarchim Alav. The Rashi writes, Shemen ha'asel ha'avar z'azuma shemeviyim b'sof ha'suda lo'asuch yadayim z'ohamas v'hum avusam b'psam em v'ochanam al b'ariyat z'psam. But you say b'arei shemen o'arei ben v'ochim em shemesh ala farismen. You do say a bracha, just don't say one bracha, you say a different bracha. Tosis learns you don't say a bracha at all. So Tosis there quotes the Rashi, but Tosis by us, it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis how to translate the words in the Gemara. Em v'ochim alof. Tosis says em v'ochim alof klal. Rashi says, no, you don't say one bracha, you say a different bracha. Why taka should you say Bari Atzib Sam? Why should you say Bari Shemin Ora? Why should the bracha change because he's interested in Laharis Azul? I don't know.
That's like
Rashi.
Eating. Huh? That's like eating. Something else.
He's not really interested in the Reyach. So then Taisus is right, you shouldn't say bracha at all. I don't know. But Rashi is consistent. Rashi over there interprets the Gemara not the way Taisa said. Taisa by Yah says you don't say bracha at all. So then the Gemara says after the fellow already he wants to be fancy, he wants to wash instead of my machrenim with water, he's going to wash my machrenim with shemen. He's going to say a bracha, not going to say a bracha, whatever the story is. So what's he going to do with the shemen on his fingers? So he's going to rub the shemen into the Amoritz's hair. No, that's acceptable. The Amoritz wants it. The Shamus wants him to rub the Shemin into his hair. Yeah. So the Gemara has a price. Why does the Talmud Chacham want to get rid of the Shemin from his finger? Because Ganaihu the Talmud Chacham lots is Lashuk Shum Avusam. Yeah. Tanu Rabbanu Shish Dvarim Ganaihu the Talmud Chacham. One is Al Yetzik Shum Avusam Lashuk. What's wrong? So the Gemara says it means if you live in a community where there are people who violate Mishkab Zachar, so the Talmud Chacham doesn't want people to be choshed him. He's not gonna wear psamim on his clothing. And the Gemara draws a distinction between psamim on the clothing as opposed to psamim on the body. What does the Gemara say on the first wide line? You're not allowed to put perfume on his clothing. I will be gufoy, but to put the after shave lotion on something on the body, the perspiration, the natural perspiration from the body, will wear down the fragrant smell of the psamim. So that's not a chashash. That would be mut. What about Cyrus Sar Gegufa, Sarah Lav Gegufa? So that's a shayla. So that's the first of the six midas toibas. She should vorm gnai the tamachacham. She didn't go mevusam with psalmim on his clothing if he lives in a community where the makam shechashulim al mishkav zach. Then the Gemara says, shouldn't be roaming around in the middle of the night. They shouldn't think that he's going to a zayna. What if everybody knows that there's a shir? His rabbi gives a shir in the middle of the night. So then there's no chashad, then there's no problem. Okay. Then the Gemara says, shouldn't go the manolim hamutuloy. Shouldn't go with shoes that have patches on top of them. The Gemara says, but that was a common practice. All the Talmid HaChacham, what? Every time there's a hole is going to develop in the shoe, you're going to throw out the pair of shoes, buy another pair of shoes. Way too expensive. The Gemara says, no, it only goes talay agabi tulay. If it's a patch on top of another patch. One patch, that's a mini gamdina, that's okay. Patch on top of another patch, that's a bizoyin for Talmid HaChacham. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, Talmid Chacham is not allowed to go berivav al bigdoy, with clothing that are not neat and clean. Talmid Chacham has to dress properly. So here also, talay al gabi talay is too much. The Gemara says only if it's in a noticeable location, if it's the bottom of the shoe, it's okay. Only the top of the shoe, it's not allowed. It's in the middle of the winter, so the highways are full of mud puddles anyway, so all the shoes are packed with mud. So nobody's going to see any of the patches on the shoe. So then it's okay. Whenever it's going to be noticeable, then it's not permissible. Then the Gemara lists off all the other Midas Chasidus for the Talmid Chacham. Ayisapim Ha'isha Bashuk, even if it's his own sister. People would think that he's making up with this girl. Even if it's his own wife, his own sister, his own daughter, they may not know that that's his relative. Yeah. There's an interesting, there's a collection of letters, some of them are Tshuvas by Rav Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin was the oldest son of the Netziv. He was a Rav in Russia, and then he, under the communists, and then he retired to Eretz Yisrael. That was the style. The Rabbanim would retire from Eastern Europe, they would all move to Yerushalayim. So he has in a collection of letters that he recommends to someone that we live at a time that they're making fun of Talmid Chachamim. So he says, it doesn't make sense to be machmer on this bizman hazeh. Well, you're not allowed to talk to your sister in the street. People would think that you're a meshuganim. So he says there's certain things that depends on kefi amakam and kefi azman. It's interesting, he recommends to another letter he has there. Someone is asking him, he has a possibility of different shiduchim, whom should he marry? So he's recommending whom he should marry. Then he says, I would recommend you shouldn't have a big family. It's hard enough to have children or shomer Shabbos or religious. They lived under the communists. It was terrible there. So he saw that there was such a religious persecution. The push, even though not religious persecution, there was so much of a push not to be observant. So he recommends you should just have one son and one daughter and shine. And try to raise your two children to be religious Jews. Wouldn't recommend to try for more than that. Very interesting collection of letters. Many of them are not shuvas. Yeah.
Does this apply only to Tam Chacham or anyone who's at a Bentorah or someone who's in Shiva?
Yeah, probably a Bentorah also. Yeah.
Sure, so that's the case. Where's the hetzer to go and shiur in public? Because you got a shavu hetzer on one end and the other end.
Yeah, so that's what we follow Rav Chaim Berlin. That we assume that Bizman Hazeh doesn't apply. Yeah. Some of the rabbis like to hang out with their balabatim. They go play golf with the balabatim and they go to the men's club meetings. And so the Gemara said that it's not proper. Unless the rabbi thinks he's going to be able to, he's going to be so successful in having a ashpah on the balabatim. Usually it'll be the reverse. The balabatim will have they'll be more successful in having ashpah on the rabbi. Then the rabbi having hashpah on the balabat. Sometimes, it depends. You have to be honest with yourself to see which way the hashpah is going to go. The Gemara's Tam Chacham has to be careful not to come late to shul. says in Shulchan Aruch that it's a Gemara earlier. That you should always try to daven tefillah b'tzibur, and even if you can't daven tefillah b'tzibur, you should always try to daven in shul. Even if you're going to daven b'yichidus. What if the rabbi woke up late and he missed the minyan? So we would recommend the rabbi should come to the base medrash and daven late b'yichidus. So it's a bizoyan on Torah. That they should see the rabbis coming late. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achrayim. If the rabbi is late for the minyan, you should daven on. Because it is Gemara. The Balabatim going to say, the rabbi comes late. So you don't have to come on time either. Then the next day, so the Gemara says, Yesham Afleh Avsiya Psiya Gasa. That's not only for rabbis, that's for all the Balabatim. The Gemara says that Psiya Gasa is unhealthy. It affects your eyesight. My Takante, if a person did go Psiya Gasa, how can he restore his eyesight? So the Gemara says, Lahadre Bikidusha de Bei Shimsha. What does it mean? So Rashi says he should drink the wine of Kiddush, Leil Shabbos. Some of the Goyim say he should drink the wine of Kiddush in Shul. That Gemara in Pesachim that Tosfos is quoted on the previous daf. And then based on the base, the Gemara said that they all used to drink the wine in Shul. So the Goyim ask, why do we still say Kiddush in Shul? We don't have any Archa meeting in the side rooms in the Shul. So they say because it is Gemara. That's Lahadre Lebi Kiddusha de Bei Shimsha means it should drink the wine in Shul. And Shulchan Aruch others say you should look in the wine. By looking in the wine, it'll heal your eyes. And others have the tradition that you dip your finger in the wine, you need to put the wine on your eyes. Others have the gears lahadala bikidusha ubavdalta, kiddush and havdala. But Rashi has simple pshat. You drink the wine of kiddush and shul. When you go home, you drink the wine of kiddush. It doesn't have to be the kiddush and shul. It doesn't mean you look at the wine. It means you drink kiddush. So it's healthy. The next one also, Yahalach becomes kufa, that's not necessarily for a Talmid Chacham. That's not proper for anyone to walk the kaim as a kufa. A person should walk in a humble fashion.
See, that looks like, that sounds like the medical advice rather than, so that changed. I mean,
why they say that jogging is healthy?
Yeah.
Jogging is psia gaso.
Walking fast.
Uh-huh. If they change, then you follow the doctors of your own generation. Yeah. Okay. Then the next Mishnah we learned already, that the Mishnah says if you have an Iker and a Tafel, so you say the Bracha on the Iker, you don't say the Bracha on the Tafel. What's an example of Pas, that the Pas is going to be Tafel? Mar says, where do you have such a situation? Mar says, the fellow is eating Peres Genois, and the Peres Genois are so sweet. And then later on, he wants to offset the sweet taste of the peris. So then he's going to eat the maliach. And then the maliach is going to be so salty, then he's going to eat the pas at the end. So really, the maliach is a tafel to the peris genoiser, and the pas is a tafel to the maliach. So what does it say in the Mishnah? He should say the bracha on the maliach and pat to the pas. He should have said the bracha on the peris genoiser and pat to B and C. Everything should be covered with the peris genoiser. So Taisus says, Enochanami, that certainly is correct, the top Taisus. Yesh Loimar, when he said, Bari Pirhates on the Peres Genoiser, Shalokh la Peres Oysa Maimon. He didn't have the Maliach at that time. He had to go home. He was eating the Peres Genoiser near the trees. And then he has such a sweet flavor in his mouth, he wants to offset it by having the Maliach. So since he didn't have it Bishas Maisa, he didn't have it in mind Bishas Maisa, so it says, Inami b'shoshoch la peres genoisa, lo hoya adai maliach. Either he didn't have it, he didn't have a mind, or chinimakom. So that's why he has to say another bracha. But anachanami, if it would all be b'mayim echad, if it would all be at the same time, he would have in mind that he's going to eat the tofa later on, so the tofa will be covered with the bracha on the yikr. He would only say a bracha on the peres.
If you learn that the bracha on the yikr doesn't pop the bracha,
doesn't require a bracha. No, but it has to be. But l'chor, it has to be labeled as a tafel at the time that I recite the bracha.
Why? Why does it have to be labeled as a tafel when I recite the bracha? If you hold that not the bracha doesn't pop, that it doesn't need, that such an achil doesn't need, then what's the difference whether I?
But
let's say I don't make a bracha on the peris at all. Why do I have to make a bracha now on the maliach? the taste of the berries?
I thought it was the same as, let's say, I'm going to eat a lot of bread. So the first bit of bread that I eat, the hamotzi goes on that, and the rest is mutter without a bracha. But if I didn't, so you're going to say, if I didn't say a bracha, I was only over the Isser on the first piece of bread. No, I never said a bracha. So every piece of bread that I eat, I'm over oichel b'loy bracha. If he said a bracha on the first piece...
Because I always understood that the bracha on the first piece helps for the others, partners the others. I don't think the rest goes on. That's funny. If Achilles Tosu doesn't need a bracha, then what's got to do with the first bracha?
I thought that's to be kaved as a tuffel, has to be nikva as a tuffel, b'shas amiras abracha. The same thing, if a whole loaf of bread, the guy eats the first bit he eats, so the bracha relates to the first bit, and the rest is muta b'li bracha, because he planned to eat a lot of bread. But if he didn't plan to eat a lot of bread, then the rest will require another bracha. So this Gemara we did already, the Gemara gives eitzes about eating, should drink a lot, should have soup, hot soup, it's healthy, okay. Good. The next Mishnah we learned also. Rabbi Gamliel, three shitas. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva and Achacham. Rabbi Akiva shita, afilo achal shelek. If a person has a filling meal, and that's the whole meal, so he says, Mavarach olav gimel brachas, say the whole birchas hamos. We don't paskin like that. We paskin based on the pasuk. V'achalta v'suvata v'rachta s'ashem l'kecho goes on eretz chita soros. How far does it go? So Rabbi Gamliel says it goes on the first pasuk as well. And all the shivas aminim. Tosis pointed out earlier, you mean Rabbi Gamliel never has the bracha mi'ein shalosh, never has al eitz or pri eitz, never has al amichi v'al kakola. How can it be? He says, you always say gimel brachas on mitina v'rina. How can it be? So they said, no, only if you ate a whole meal from it. If you just had it as a snack, you'll also agree that you say al eitz v'al pri eitz on amichi v'al kakola. But if you ate a whole meal, then he holds that you say shalosh bracha. We paskin only on pas. Why? So the Gemara says, eretz yivsik v'inyin. Eretz shelo b'miskenes l'chal b'alechem, eretz yivsikru. The Gemara gives you the nusach of alamichia, alweitz, alprihaitz. Fine, the Gemara doesn't give you alagefen, alpriagefen. So that's what Tosis is not sure. Alweitz, alprihaitz. Tosis is not sure what the nusach is by the chasima. Do you say alhaoretz, alaperis? Or do you say alhaoretz, alprihagofen? What should you say? L'chor, the suffix of Tosis is that the mashkim we already said in the beginning of the parak. The mashkim ayetzim min hazeisim min ha'anovim retain the same status as the original pri itself. Emevim bikurim on all mashkim except for mashkim ayetzim min hazeisim min ha'anovim. And if you drink oral or juice, so you're only yotzei, you're only loike if you drank the oral or juice from the zeisim min ha'anovim. All the others is called yotzei min ha'asa. Yotzei min ha'asa zeina loike. Only on mashkim ayetzim min hazeisim min ha'anovim. So if you're going to drink yayin, and you have to say bracha achrenes, so that's what Tosis is not sure. Maybe the bracha achrenes b'toiras, it's a liquid form of haloitz val prihoitz. So true, you start off saying, how do you start off? How do you start off after having wine? Halamichyo? Algefen val piagefen. You start off differently, because you don't say bar pihoetz on wine. The Mishnah says you should have said bar pihoetz on wine, but they changed the nusach abroch. But maybe that's only, instead of saying bar pihoetz, you say al ha'gefen val pihagefen. But the chasima, maybe the chasima should be al ha'oretz val ha'peres, because you're really saying the baruch ha'achreinu b'toros peres. So those are the 2 days in Tosfos. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the suffix of the Tosfos and other mesichtes. How much wine do you have to drink in order to say a bracha achrayna, whether kezayis or revius? L'chore, that should depend on that shayla. Is the bracha achrayna b'toiras wine? But then it should be shir revius. Or is the bracha achrayna b'toiras liquid form of grapes? So if the nusach ha-bracha is al horetz v'al ha-peiros, then the shir should be kezayis.
What's the markup for the juice that's
for
if the fruit of the wine is from Eretz Yisrael, it's perosah?
Right, the Gemara says like that over here. The Gemara says there were two Amoraim, so one said you say al ha'aretz v'al ha'peres, one says al ha'aretz v'al peres seho. So the Gemara says, how can it be? What do you mean? Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he says al ha'aretz v'al ha'peres. And Rav Chizda lived in Babel, he says al ha'aretz v'al peres seho. 3 lines from the bottom. How can it be? The Gemara says, no, ala epach. Last line on the Omer, ala epach. Should be the reverse. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, So he told us Taminim, if you're eating the Shivas Aminim that grew in Eretz Yisrael, then you say Halorat Val Perisel. Same thing if you're drinking wine from Eretz Yisrael. Say Halorat Val Pi Gafno. You don't say Halorat Val Pi Agaf. What about if you're eating cookies? What if you're eating cookies? Let's say they have cookies that were baked in Eretz Yisrael that they sell in America. So some of the cookies baked in Eretz Yisrael are baked with American wheat. Some of them, they send American wheat to Eretz Yisrael, and they beg the cook to send it back. So that's Al Horatz Val Michya. What if you know for sure that it's Israeli wheat? Do you say Al Horatz Val Michya? So in the Sefer Pas Al Shulchan, by the Talmud of the Vilna Goyen, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he writes all the dinim. So the first chapter in the Sefer is all about miscellaneous dinim about Eretz Yisrael, and the rest is about the mitzvah of Please Bartz. In the first chapter, he quotes that most of the Paskim say Al Horatz Val Michya. The meaning is that they don't do like that. The Rishonim also, most of the Rishonim say like that on this daf. You say Al Horatz Val Michyosa. The meaning is not so, because you can never tell whether the flour is American flour or Israeli flour. So that's why I think the meaning is not so. But if you know for sure that the Tvua grew in Eretz Yisrael, then you really should say Rova Rishonim Hal, you say Al Horatz Val Michyosa. Yeah. And Tosis quotes the Rambam, this is a collector's item. The second half of the Tosis, Al Horatz Val Prihoitz. There's a quote to the Sefer HaMaimoni that Maimonides writes, that you should mention Shabbos and Yontif in Al HaMichya. Most of the Rishonim hold you don't mention Chanukah and Purim. You only mention Chanukah and Purim in Birchas HaMazon, you don't mention in Al HaMichya. That's a Shaila. Why not? It's a different... The Rishonim and Achronim give different suggestions. Rav Soloveitchik liked the suggestion of some of the Achronim, because Al HaMichya is known as Me'ein Sholosh, the abridged form of the Birchas HaMazon. So Al HaMichya, Al HaNisim, is not the same as Ritzei and Yalaviyah. Ritzei is a Haskara, Yalaviyah is a Haskara. It's an independent paragraph. Al HaNisim is really with Havah, the Al HaNisim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, that, and the other thing, and the other thing. You say in Moedim, you say, you thank the Rabbanu Shalom for A, B, C, D, and E, the Alanis. So if you're saying Mayain Shalosh, you're abridging the Birchas HaMazon, so you can't abridge and leave out Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif is not a longer form of the benching. That's a separate paragraph. It's saying Yalveyav, each one is a separate paragraph. Alanisim is not really a separate paragraph. You're making the sentence longer by thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for not only all the Nei Delecha, for A, B, C, and D. So you say, V'ala Nisim Ala Purkim, for this also. So since the whole idea of Me'en Sholosh is to give an abridged form of the Birchas HaMazon, so you bridge it and you do B'kitzah, so you leave that out. He liked that explanation. Other Rishonim and Acharon give other explanations. Rabbi Avadya says there's a whole collection of all the different explanations. Why we don't mention Chanukah and Purim and Al HaMichya. Some hold that you do, but our practices we don't. Taisus wasn't even so convinced you should mention Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Gemara has it more abridged than we say. Halel l'serach samcheinu bo. We have an echal mipiri of an izma mituva. Kiyata tovim meitim lakom. The Gemara doesn't have. So the Magen Avraham quotes the discussion on that topic. The Gemara, at the end of the first parak in Saita, wonders why did Moshe Rabbeinu want so much to enter Eretz Yisrael? Pechilecha mipiriyah with his be'ah mituvah. Is that why he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says no. He was davening b'aschana because he wanted to fulfill all the mitzvahs on Tlis Baretz. So if that's not the right reason to want to go to Eretz Yisrael, lecha mipiriyah with his be'ah mituvah, that's how the Israeli government advertises. Go swimming in the Kinneret and enjoy Lechem Lepiri with his Bar Mitzvah. So that's not supposed to be the correct reason to want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You should go for religious reasons in order to be able to fulfill all to reach higher levels of spirituality. So how can we say on Al HaMichya Lechem Lepiri with his Bar Mitzvah? So some Taka cross it up and the Gemara Taka doesn't have it. Magen Avraham quotes, there are those who don't say. The Baal HaTanya Siddur that doesn't have. The others who do say it, so they say, no, that's Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level, so he's not interested in going to Eretz Yisrael. But plain people, what's so bad? If you want to go, it's not so bad. Others say, no, it refers to Yerushalayim. They say, v'nei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh b'meher v'yameinu, v'haleinu l'seicho, you should bring us into Yerushalayim, v'samcheinu v'vinyono, v'nechol mi'piryo v'nizma mi'tuvo, we should eat the peris of Yerushalayim. What are the peris of Yerushalayim? So they say from the Brisker Rav, I think, they say that it refers to Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni, that the Revai, Kachim Kalim, all the things that you're supposed to eat only in Yerushalayim, that's called v'nechol mi'piryo of Yerushalayim v'nizma mi'tuvo. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Saita, when the Gemara says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu yearn so much to go to Eretz Yisrael? Lechem mipiryo v'nizma mi'tuvo. The Gemara goes, lechem mipiryo of Eretz Yisrael. Nizma mi'tuvo just to enjoy olam hazeh. Hanos olam hazeh. No. But here in the bench, in Alamichim, we say, lechem mipiryo v'nizma mi'tuvo, it's referring to the Paris of Yerushalayim, namely the Maaseh Sheni and the Kodesh Kal. So that's a spiritual request. More on the top of Amid Beis quotes the story about Bar Nefoshes. Bizman HaTanoim, they didn't say Bar Nefoshes. That's how the Vilna Gaon pointed out. So Rashi said earlier, you don't say any of the fancy brachas achreinas that were instituted. Alamichya, Birchas Hamoz, you don't say. And the Vilna Gaon said, no, Vachra Avaloi Klum means you don't say brach achrein at all. It didn't exist. Brach achrein, Bar Nefoshes didn't exist. The Gemara says here that the minig of Bar Nefoshes developed over the years. So the Gemara has on the top line a mem dalet on the base. If you eat eggs or flesh, then you say a bracha bar nefoshes at the end, but if you eat vegetables, no. They didn't hold too much from vegetables. Next one says, even on vegetables, you say bracha achreina, but on water, no. Rav Papa said, even on water, you say bracha achreina, bar nefoshes. Yeah. The Gemara, in fact, Akasha, there's a Mishnah in Nida, daf nun aleph on the base, kol shetom bracha liachm, tom bracha lefonov, ish tom bracha lefonov, v'inan tom bracha liachrov. So the Gemara says, according to the first two opinions, the first one doesn't say bar nefoshes after vegetable. The second one doesn't say bar nefoshes after water. So then we understand the Mishnah in Nida. You only say bracha before the water, you don't say bracha after. But according to Rav Papa, Gemara is asking Rav Papa is against the Mishnah. According to Rav Papa, you say bracha achreina on anything that you eat or you drink, you always say bracha achreina. So what can the Mishnah be talking about? Like they're attacking Rav Papa. So Tosis asks at the end of the Perek, the last Tosis in the Perek, Memhem and Aleph, the second Tosis. What are they attacking Rav Papa? The Mishnah quotes a Rav Tarfin said Bar Nefoshes. What do they have against Rav Papa? The Mishnah Mem Dalet Amalf quotes Rav Tarfin said Bar Nefoshes. Obviously, Rav Tarfin said Bar Nefoshes instead of Shahakol. That's how Rashi said. He said Bar Nefoshes before he drank the water, not after. Zman HaTanoim, nobody said Bar Nefoshes after drinking water. Bar Nefoshes, according to Rav Tarfin, was the Bracha Shalafaneho. Of water. So that's what they're asking. How can Rav Papa go against the Mishnah Nida? He doesn't have Rav Tarfin to support him. Rav Tarfin is talking about Bar Nefoshes as the Brocha Shel Lefaneho. So the Gemara says, no, it goes on mitzvahs. According to Rav Papa, where do you say a Brocha before? You don't say a Brocha after. Lapuke mitzvahs. You only recite the Brochas on mitzvah before you perform a mitzvah. You don't say a Brocha after. Frank the Gemara, but in Bnei Marav in Eretz Yisrael, is to say a Brocha Lishmachukam when they took off the tefillin. So what is the Mishnah referring to? Gemara says, so where do you have a thing that you say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha after? The Bnei Marav said a bracha after taking off the tefillin. So Tosis here restricts the Bnei Marav so much. They say it's only tefillin, only if you're taking off the tefillin when it's nighttime. Because the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'shamata Suchuka Hazos L'may Adam Yomim Yomimo. This is a famous Tosis that appears in a few Masechtos. They give you all the Marmakamis on the sign. And there's a machlekes satanoim, how to interpret the pasuk. Veshamarta, so chukah hazos goes on chukas hatfilim, miyamim yamimah means daily. You should wear the tefillin every day. Miyamim yamimah, miyamim v'lo kol yamim, not Shabbos and Yontif. Miyamim yamimah, yamim v'lo leilos. So this is the mocker for not putting on tefillin balayla, not putting on tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Or should I say no, veshamarta, so chukah hazos goes on chukas hapesach, because in the parsha in Chumash, it's written after Pesach and after Tefillin, so it's unclear which of the two it's referring to. So the way Tosis claims, the way we paskin l'alocha is, the Rambam paskin is Laila loves matfilin mikra din derais. The Rambam is the outstanding Rishon who paskin is that Laila loves matfilin mikra din. We paskin menatara Laila is matfilin. V'shemarta is a chukah goes on a chukah ha-Pesach. Miyamim yamim means yearly, it doesn't mean daily. And min haTorah, you may put on tefillin b'alayla. It's only a gzera de rabban Hashem, a yishem b'hem, Hashem, a yafiach b'hem. Tosis quotes,
There's a quote from Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin, Shem Yishin, Shem Yafiach Behem. And Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't put on tefillin, based on a different pasuk, not based on miyamim v'lo kol yamim, in Gansana. So Tosis claims that the Bnei Marovir said a bracha lishma chukav is based on the Beloshan Apostle, v'shamartos l'chukah hazois. They said the bracha lishma chukav when they were taking off tefillin, when it was Laila. They didn't want to violate the din of wearing tefillin by Laila. But first of all, we take off the tefillin after Shachris, they don't want tefillin all day. Secondly, we don't paskin like that. We pass the Mishamartos Chukah, so this goes on Chukah HaPesach, so this goes on Chukah HaTfilin. So Taisa says that even the Bnei Marov, if they would take off the Tfilin in the morning, they wouldn't say Bracha. If they would finish, they take off the Talis or any other mitzvah, let's say the Kiyah Shofar took half an hour, when they finished Kiyah Shofar, they wouldn't say Bracha. Even a mitzvah that takes a long time, the Bnei Marov would only say Bracha at the conclusion of Anachas Tfilin Kol Hayom. So why does that? That's Tosis's problem. So why does the Gemara say, "Well, the Bnei Marov that they say bracha when they take off the tefillin"? What can the Mishnah needed possibly be talking about? Why has the shift the pshat and say goes on reyach? You only say bracha before, you don't say bracha after. So Tosis says, "Why do you have to switch the reyach? Say it goes on tzitzis, say it goes on shofar, it goes on mikra megillah, it goes on every other mitzvah in the world. The only one and only mitzvah in the world that they say bracha when they finish doing it is mitzvah satfilin." So that's why, because of this kasha that Tosis asks against their own pshat, that's the Ramban, and neither disagrees with the whole Tosis. Says muchach from the Gemara, not like Tosis. He says he sees from the Gemara that the Bnei Marov said a bracha after performing any mitzvah sheyesh by shihu isman. If you bang on a mezuzah on the doorpost, it takes a half a minute. Shaykh says, I'm going to say a bracha before, not a bracha after. But the take off the talis, you're wearing the talis. You daven at the 8:30 minyan on Shabbos, you finish davening at the 10:30, 11 o'clock, you take off the talis, you say a bracha. Lishma chukav. The Ramban disagrees with Tosis. He said, that's why the Gemara continues to ask the Bnei Marov, what does the Mishnah need to refer to? The Gemara shifts the pshat, they say it goes on Reach. Okay, maybe we'll stop here tomorrow. I'd like to finish the perek and then start Shlosh HaShochet. We already started Shlosh HaShochet. We already discussed a little bit, okay? We'll discuss some more. We left about Chanke Sayumtso, a little bit Puk Chazim, I am in the back.